It was so cute last week. Matthew came to me and he said, one of the announcements on the screen is wrong. And I said, what? He says, well, they spelled it wrong. I said, spelled what wrong? They spelled mom wrong. They said, it's spelled W-O-M. And it's supposed to be M-O-M. And I said, oh, that's all right, Matthew. It's for women on missions. And he goes, oh. See, I mean, he was focused in on mom already a week ago. So, I mean, he was really focused in on mom. I do have a little letter I want to read to you from the Mosaic Pregnancy Center that they sent to us. It says, thank you for encouraging your congregation to support the Mosaic Pregnancy and Health Center of 2014 Baby Bottle Campaign. Their commitment to life and God's work at our centers is such a blessing. Our center directors have been busy at the banks counting almost 4,500 individual bottles. After each bottle is counted, the amount is written on a receipt so that the proper tax credit may be given to our donors. It can be a very tedious job, but one that is very rewarding. We are happy to share that we have received a total of $64,027.08. They collected that from 82 different local churches and organizations. The amount collected from our church was $545.33. They want to express, yes, you can give yourself a hand for that. They want to express their heartfelt thanks to our congregation for every coin, every bill, every check that was placed in the bottle. May God continue to bless your work and ministry. God has been so good. You know, they are able to reach and touch so many people that were not able to reach and touch their lives. Today is a very special day that we celebrate Mother's Day. I have a question for you, though, this morning. Who is the most important person in your life? Is it your husband, wife, children, grandchildren? It should be God. And there's a reason for that. There have been many studies done because we have messed up our minds, we've messed up our bodies, we're in the process of messing up our planet, and we actually feel that science can fix anything that we mess up. The problem with that is this. There was a survey done and a study done on what it takes to fix someone when they have a personal problem. And I want to read this so that I don't misquote any of the facts. If you have a personal problem and go to a psychoanalyst, there's a 44% chance that you will be cured within a year. If you go to a psychotherapist, there's a 53% chance that you will recover within a year. If you go to a psychologist, there is a 62% chance that you will recover. And if you do nothing at all, there's a 75% chance that you will be well in a year. Somehow, some way, science continues to keep us in that circle. There was a study done, it's called the Monroe Study. You can look it up. You can Google it if you wish. They found that most of society's problems stem from toilet training. Now, this is what they determined. Because the father many times is out of the home, the mother becomes the main communicator. And when it's time to potty train the child, they sit the child on the toilet and they ask the child to perform. And many times a child is unwilling and they struggle. And their little behinds will go asleep, sitting on the toilet. And finally, when they're able to perform and do that which society says is proper, they are so happy, they are so excited. And mommy and baby look in the toilet and whoosh. And the child learns that everything that is produced for society has no lasting value. Now that's not my study. That was the Monroe study. Okay? That's where science has us. The reason why I asked you who the most important person in your life is, because who we are and what we become is greatly determined, hear this, by what we think the most important person in our life views us or thinks about us. So, if the most important person in my life is my humanly father, and I think that he thinks I'm a failure and that I'm incompetent, many times I will fulfill that legacy. I will be a failure and I will be incompetent because the one person that I look up to, I think that that's the way they view me. Let me tell you something. God needs to be the most important person in our lives. Amen? Because every relationship humanly that we are in can fail us. But the relationship that we are in with Almighty God, as He is leading us, as He is guiding us, as He is protecting us, as He is providing for us, that relationship can never fail. Because God is the one that's in the driver's seat. Mothers are very, very important. They oftentimes do the jobs that the fathers really don't want to do or don't do well, you know. And I don't want to stereotype mothers as the ones that do all the washing and all the cooking and things like that. But I heard a story about a little boy that went running into his mother's bedroom, and she was sick in bed. And she said, and he says to her, he says, "Mommy, mommy, I think I'm strong enough to help you to the stove." Really? Yesterday, Kathy went to lean over just to pick up some clothes. And when she went to do this, went, "Oh, don't. Her back now is, you know, she's kind of walking like this a little bit. Mothers do so much. I remember when I was a kid, I'd scream, "Mom, where's my socks?" Moms, have you ever heard that? Yeah, okay. "Where's my undies?" You know? "Where's this? Where's that?" Still to this day, there are times I will yell, "Kathy! Where's my socks? Where are my black socks? Where are my brown socks?" Yeah, it just continues on. Mothers are very, very important for the simple reason they nurture and they bring out things in the children that fathers could never do. That's why it's so important that mothers and fathers are in the lives of their children. There are so many families today, and that's why society is so messed up, is because there are so many broken families today. When it comes to Mother's Day, we always tend to lift the mothers up, but when it comes to Father's Day, we always tend to put on them the responsibility of what a true father does. It's difficult to raise children. There's nothing easy about it. I told our daughter, who had had Emma, what, 5 weeks ago? Huh? Seven? My, how time flies. Woo! 7 weeks ago, I said, save your receipt because you'll want to send her back. The day will come when you want to send her back. Now, funny thing is, she's starting to learn. She put little Emma in her car seat and the little carrier thing, and she started to scream. Oh, she's got a temper on her. And Danielle picks up the thing and starts doing this. I said, where'd you learn that? Mom didn't show you that. She goes, well, I just figured it out for myself. You know, it takes a lot to be a mother. And that's why I believe we need to look at the mother of faith. Turn with me this morning to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. This, of course, is the birth of Moses. Exodus chapter 2. And I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to witness what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when they saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister, who's Miriam, by the way, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call for you a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We celebrate our mothers today, Lord. And we thank you that you have given us an opportunity to be raised by them, to be raised by an individual that loves us, that gave birth to us. And Father, we pray that every mother here would be lifted up as well as encouraged, that we might be able to encourage the young mothers to be steadfast and to continue to love the children and to care for them and to guide them. And Father, we pray that we might see how this mother was truly a mother of faith and how each mother could pattern their lives after this one mother. And Father, we pray that through this message, you are glorified and that we are drawn closer to you. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing that I believe God wants us to see about the mother of faith is the fact that she saw him. You can write that down in your bulletin insert. She saw him. The reason why that is important is because she saw something that beamed from him. Something beamed from him. There was something within him that she saw. The Bible says, look with me in verse 2, please. It says, and the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. In Hebrews 11, it says that he was a proper child. It says that she hid him for 3 months. She saw something that beamed within him. My mother saw something in me way before I ever knew anything like that existed in me. There were times, I mean, and I was kind of an ornery guy. My brother and I, my brother was older, and we would just do things sometimes without thinking. Did your kids ever do that? My kids did that, and I didn't know where they got it from. But I would do things, and my mother would take a hold of me, and she'd draw me real close, and she'd put her hands beside my face so that I couldn't turn my head. And she was so close that I could only look at one eye at a time. That's close. Nose to nose. And she'd scold me. She'd say, "Craig, you don't have to do those bad things. Craig, God made you for way more than that. You can do anything that you set your mind and your heart to do. So you don't need to go and do those kind of things. Because God's going to use you in a great way." Every time I got in trouble, my mother did the same thing. And it was like, oh boy, here it comes again. And she'd put her hands beside my face and draw me close. And I'd only be able to look at one eye at a time. And she'd scold me and continually tell me that I could do anything that I set my mind or my heart to do. And that God was going to use me in a great way. Every morning when my brother and I got up at 4 o'clock to do chores, we were raised on the farm. We got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, went out and did several hours of chores, and then came in for breakfast, to eat breakfast before the school bus would pick us up. And she would normally have oatmeal, and she'd put raisins in the bottom of the bowl because we liked the raisins, and the only way you could get to the raisins was to eat the oatmeal. Guess what I have at night if I'm looking for a snack? Oatmeal. No, oatmeal. Yeah, I learned to love it. But more than that, we would have a daily devotion. And she would always bring a daily devotion at breakfast because that was the one time that my brother, my sister, and myself were all gathered together. Dad was gone. He was gone to work. And Mom would bring a devotion because she saw something in each one of her children. Moses' mother saw something in him that beamed. And so she wanted to hide him from Pharaoh. And that leads me to my second point. She recognized the magnificence of God in him. Now, there's a little bit of God in every child, and there's a little bit of the devil in every child as well. There's kind of a mixture there. Amen, there is. There's a little bit of God, and there's a little bit of the devil. But good mothers, mothers of faith, recognize the portion that is of God. That's what she saw. She saw the magnificence of God in her young child. Oh, it grieves me to hear on the news how a woman would drive her car into the ocean with her three children in the car buckled into the seatbelts. It grieves me when I hear how parents have abused children. And it happens every single day. It's because they're not recognizing, they're not seeing that goodness in the children. She recognized the magnificence of God. And she was willing to suppress her love to dedicate her child to God. She was willing to suppress it. Don't you know that she loved her child and she hid the child for, you know, 3 months, and the day was going to come when she could no longer hide him. You know, kids, they cry at the most inopportune time. I know that because Danielle was with Emma in our home for several weeks because Aaron was gone working. and we had all the fans in our bedroom and stuff turned on so that there was enough noise there so that when Emma woke up at night, we couldn't hear her. But Danielle did. Amazing thing was, one night Danielle come running into our bedroom. Mom, Dad, Mom, Dad! Emma had done something that scared her. She got so mad that she stopped breathing. You know how they just wail out and just get all of the air out of their lungs. And it's like, breathe, breathe! And there's another big cry. And it scared Danielle to death. A mother of faith, a godly mother, recognizes those great attributes that the child has. And she suppressed her love in order to dedicate him to God. Secondly, we need to see that she cared for him. Look with me, please, in verse 2 and 3. And when the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. And she put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. She hid him for 3 months. Now, every other mother was taking their child down to Pharaoh, who had a decree that any child that was born, any male, was going to be killed. And they would march through the city, and they would take every young child, every young male, and they would slaughter that child. But she saw that there was something great about that child, and so she wanted to hide him. But the day came that she could no longer hide him. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know, it grieved her heart to have to let him go. She also wove an ark. Don't you know that the time it took for her to sit and gather the reeds from the bulrushes and weave that ark, the whole time she was thinking, she was praying, God, I can't take care of my child any longer. God, you're going to have to protect him. God, you're going to have to provide for him. God, I can't do it any longer. Pharaoh's going to kill him. God, help me to make this so that he remains safe. Don't you know the days that it would take to make that? She was sitting there by faith, contemplating. She was praying in her spirit, knowing that she was going to have to give up her child. She also released him into God's hands. She released him into God's hands. There comes a point in time in our lives that we have to relinquish control of our children. We cannot be with them 24/7. We can't be with them all the time. But God can. Amen? God can watch over them. God can protect them. God can provide for them. And many times when we do that and we release our children to God, they fall, they falter, they take the wrong steps, and it grieves us. Everybody else was taking their child down to the slaughterhouse, or the soldiers were kicking in their doors. She made this little ark to put Moses in and then released him into God's care. Don't you know God will always provide for that which we entrust to Him? When we entrust our children to Him, He will always provide. But many times, the way God provides is different than the way we would provide. See, if we made the ark and put Moses in it, we would want the ark to float the other direction, away from Pharaoh's house, away from the man that wants to kill him. But that's not God's way. See, God will provide a way when there is no way. God's way is always different than our way. The Bible tells us that God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so what God does is the exact opposite. He floats the young child right down by the house of the man that wants to kill him. We wouldn't have done it that way. But you know what God says? I'm going to let Pharaoh raise him. I'm going to let Pharaoh pay for all of his food, pay for all of his diapers, pay for all of his clothing, pay for all of his education. And when Pharaoh has raised him up, I will take him back unto myself and I will free the children of Israel from Egypt with this man. That's God's way. That's not our way. We would not have sent that little baby down by the house where the guy wanted to kill him. She released him into God's hands. Thirdly, we need to see that she directed him. Now, lo and behold, while he's down there, Pharaoh's daughter is out and she's bathing and she has some of her maidens go and fetch the young child and bring the child, and the baby starts to cry. Look with me, please, in verse 9. She directed him. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. She influenced his character. As the baby cried, God knows that the heart of a woman goes out to a baby that's crying. When little Emma will cry, if Danielle brings her to me, it's like, no. Give her to your mom. And Kathy will take her and she'll do the little... I mean, somehow she gets that little bounce going, you know. And pretty soon little Emma's not crying any longer. The heart of women go out to babies that are crying. I mean, the heart of guys go out too, but it's more like, shh, shh. For me anyway. I've taken them and I've done the same thing, and all it does is seem to aggravate them. Why are you bouncing me around so much? And it's more like, shh, you don't cry in Papa's house. And I'll tell her that. You don't cry in Papa's house. But she instilled things in him. And you can write that down. She instilled things in him. The belief in God. The belief in God is the creator, that he created everything. The belief in God that he's the sustainer of life. The belief in God that he is the provider of life, that he provides everything. She instilled those attributes. Because as the baby cried, his sister Miriam said, should I go and get one of the Hebrew women? And Pharaoh's daughter says, yeah, go get one of the Hebrew women. Don't you know that Miriam went to her mom and said, okay, mama, guess what? Pharaoh's daughter's got her and she wants you to nurse him. The plan comes together when it's done God's way. And yes, she imparted some things to him. She imparted some things, sacred traditions. There were things that she taught Moses that the Egyptians couldn't teach him. She imparted traditions, the Jewish traditions, so that when he grew up, he would know who his real family was. So she taught him all of the sacred values of life. And then she takes him back to Pharaoh's daughter. Don't you know that she turned him to God? She turned little Moses to God because the best thing you can do is to turn your child to God and say, God is the most important person in your life, not me. Our society today, parents want to be the most important person in that child's life. They want to be the hero. They want the child to succeed, and they try to teach the child everything, which is all well and good, but they need to point their child to God and say, God is the ultimate, most important person in your life. Because God can protect you, can provide for you, can guide you in ways that I can never do. And see, when God is the most important person, the child then has an ability, a supernatural ability, that they'll never have if the parents are the most important person. She turned little Moses to God and said, God needs to be that most important person in your life. If my mother had not pointed me to God, I don't know what I would have been. Now, I know God's plan is always sovereign, and that God can wade through a mile of muck to get to us. But my mother plowed the soil and planted the soil and watered that which she had planted. And so now I can see the things that she did in my life that really mattered. That's why when my mother passed away, I had to be the only one that could preach her funeral. And people would ask me afterwards, how could you do that? And my answer is, how could I not? God has given us all mothers. God has given us special mothers that we recognize here today. Every mother is special and unique. And that's why this morning, before we are dismissed after the invitation, we're going to give these out to all the mothers, because mothers sow the seeds of love. And each one of these packets have a little packet of seeds with flowers and a little bookmark that you can keep way beyond the ability of a flower, because a flower will fade with time. God wants each and every one of us to turn to Him, that He would be the most important person. And that's why this morning, for the invitation, we're going to have that as our invitation this morning. To simply come, maybe it's a mother that wants to bring her children and pray with her children or pray over the children. Maybe it's an adult child that wants to take and bring mom front and pray for her. We're going to have lunch with two of our children today, because it is a special day where we celebrate mothers. Because mothers are very special in the lives of each child. And I'm still a child. I'm still Marilyn's little Craig. Yep. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You, Father, that You want to be the most important person in each one of our lives. And we pray as our worship team comes that You would provide that time for us to simply respond to what You have said today. That we could pattern our lives after this mother of faith. And that we could see, Father, the results of that. How You are working in each mother and through each mother that's here. And Father, we pray today that You are glorified as we respond to You in a very special way. Now, Father, be glorified. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's all stand.